JYB, Jezalenko, you beauty. Chance to go down memory lane with some of our favourite people in footy of yesteryear, pretty much. Chance to go down memory lane. Des Dowling joins us from funnyguys.com.au to help us through this as well. He's back again this afternoon. G'day, Des.
Hello, Half. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you, sir.
It's good. It's good to be in. Lovely day outside.
Is it? It's been nice at your end of the world.
Oh, up in Woodend.
Be beautiful.
Well, we're having a few trouble with the Huntsman spiders at the moment. I'm not a big fan of the Huntsman.
Right, can't hurt you, though.
Yeah, but I had two in the car, and I don't like
Don't like
the idea of one on my head as I'm driving along, or and they're not meant to be able to hurt you, but there was one the size of a footy on our front door the other day, and they're
the size of a footy.
They just look creepy, and
yeah, oh, they're very creepy.
They are creepy. Yeah. They're creepy and they're crawly, and they're everywhere up there. If they learn to talk, I'll sell the house because they just. I've always been a little bit scared of them.
That's okay.
I don't mind admitting it.
No, you don't.
It takes a big man to admit he's weak.
I'm not a big man.
My wife catches them with a plastic container, has been known to take a leg off because she's got very sloppy technique.
They're very big spiders.
And then releases them. And the Jack Russell tried to get the one last one we released, and it bit him. And the chook just walked straight past and went, I'll sort this, and pecked it and took it away. So it's all happening. It's like
how
a wildlife adventure out there.
How good's your
That's
house?
That's just an ordinary morning. Yeah, all the animals are involved. And we're trying to catch and release at the moment.
Catch and release. Got to catch and kill your own up there. And, as Russ Lyon would say.
And I'm not saying unpopular for our choice of JYB, but maybe into that territory where love-hate relationships come into play.
You're not calling him a spider, are you? Creepy, crawly type number.
I've got a plastic container over him at the moment. Are we going to let him out at some stage?
We'll find out who's very, very shortly. Just off the SMS, I did allude to a coach before. We're talking about Mick Malthouse. A coach that people should look up to find out more details. Jack Oatey is his name, O-A-T-E-Y. A South Australian legend, Australian football legend, but South Australian legend particularly. Check out his details if you want to find out about coaching and records. It's unbelievable. And then, how should I take this, Des? Sonia says off the SMS.
I was just reading that one.
Can you please tell me what time David Schwartz comes on today, as I would only like to talk to him, please?
Well,
why don't you want to talk to me, Sonia?
She might want to have a crack at the ox. She might have a beef.
Well, that's okay. I'll take a positive. She's not having a crack at me just yet.
She hasn't put, I don't want to speak to what's his name is on at the moment.
No,
that's
she didn't say
that's
that,
always hurtful.
But it was insinuated as far as I'm concerned. Let's find out who's in the chair this afternoon.
Wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jezalenko!
For the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway.
What about this, Des? 371 games at the top level. Three-time All-Australian, six-time grand finalist, and I don't think he has too many friends in the game still. It's a big, big welcome to the chair to Darren Goldspig. Hello, Goldie.
Hello, Half. How are you?
Very well, mate. How's things?
Which category do you fall into there?
How do you view him, I think he's asking.
Am I a good bloke?
Yeah, a good fella.
Good on you, thank you.
Yeah, no dramas.
You never did anything wrong by me, Darren.
Hang on. If we go, but done things wrong by me. No. No, I've got a few of them. Actually, no, you're not that fella. Not that good a fella. But we'll work on that through the afternoon because we haven't had... Have we had an umpire in, Des?
No, first.
First
He's
umpire.
Our first.
So
He's
you've made history.
Yeah.
Happy to do it. Happy to help you out.
Do you want a break while you update your Wikipedia page to say that you're the first JYB guest?
No, when I finished, I'll get straight on that.
Okay, maybe an ad break.
Now, there's probably a reason why we haven't done too many umpires, but you are synonymous with the game, and everyone loves to talk about Darren Goldspig through their journey. In the sort of time that we were growing up, Darren Goldspig was a figure in the game. Did you ever want to be a figure in the game?
Not really. Look, when I was a kid, all I wanted to do was play footy, VFL footy, and then I probably realised early on that wasn't going to happen. So I took up umpiring just for a bit of pocket money. As it turned out, it was only ever pocket money, really, compared to what some of the players get. But no, I started at North Reservoir, which was out in the Preston District, which no longer exists. So I played out there from, about the age of 8 or 9. And played through to under 16s and didn't go on any further than that. Started umpiring then.
And you umpired in that league too?
Umpired in that league.
That's pretty full on back then, would it?
It was only juniors. Juniors. Yeah, but they were pretty rough. Most of them shaved by the time they were 14.
What about the parents? Were they respectful?
Oh, not really.
No.
No, they were a bit feral too.
I think that would be the hardest thing to take for junior umpire. I mean, just copying it from parents. Have you seen much of it, Harp? Your kids are
not
at
yet.
That level.
No, we're not at that level yet.
Not quite at that level?
Not quite. We're still Auskicking and things are pretty good
Auskicking. Yeah, it's a very, very loving...
They teach them from a young age. They teach them at Auskick, the parents.
Do they?
Not the parents that we deal with, Goldie. We don't allow that sort of action.
Don't you? Okay, that's good.
We're going to allow junior footy.
Did you start off though thinking you had a career? So when you were playing football, where were you playing? What position and were you?
Oh, I pretty much played in most positions.
Yep.
You know, and like I said, I wanted to do was play.
Yep.
And then when I got to under 16s, like that was back in the day when they had recruits from the under 19s come out and scout guys and that sort of thing, and nobody ever really showed any interest in me.
So were you any good, or they missed it?
No, I was okay. I could hold my own, but that was all.
Yeah.
I didn't stand out or anything like that.
You're clearly... Not clearly, I'll ask you this. Were you always a good runner? Was that part of your game?
Nah, look, I only run because it was a part of the job.
Really?
I hate running. Hated it.
How far off your playing weight are you at the moment?
I've ballooned out
a little bit.
I've been sharing the same paddock as half.
That's all right. It's
not the same
case.
Plate, obviously.
It's been nice paddock. But what about other sports? Were you into other sports? Cricket, basketball?
Oh, I played cricket. So back in when I was growing up, it was cricket in summer and footy in the winter.
Familiar story.
There was there was some kids played basketball, but that was about it.
And when you got to there must have been a point where umpiring became more than just pocket money on the weekend, that there was clearly someone recognised your talents.
Yeah, look, and it was similar to footy back in the day. Your coach would recommend you to the cadet squad, as it was called then, and they'd umpire the under-19s and a lot of games up in the bush.
Yep.
So after a couple of years, I got recommended to go down there, and I tried out and got on the list and spent the next 4 years driving around a cab around country Victoria.
Any memorable games up in the bush or characters?
Oh, there were... The second game I did in the bush, I won't say where it was.
No, say where it was. Say where it was.
You love the recognition.
All the guys they'd tell me during the week that, you know, this guy was a captain and coach of one of the sides and he was a real tough bloke and all that sort of stuff. And as it turned out, the place that I was going to was in a bit of, had been in a drought for 3 or 4 years, and this bloke got busted. He used to hook up his hose to the church tap next door and use all their water. So they're the sort of blokes we were trying to umpire at that stage.
Using the holy water.
Yeah, he was.
Don't be using the holy water on the garden.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the azaleas looked marvellous. That
they did.
You tell us the town. We're not going to track it down. All right, well, tell us what was the best town.
It was in the North Central League.
What was the best?
We're narrowing slowly. Yeah. Slowly, we're narrowing the
Look, like I said, went to a lot of towns, you know, Albury, Rainbow, down Foster Way, all those sort of, went everywhere.
So you weren't living, were you living in those areas or travelling?
No, so you used to get picked up at the gas, back in the day when the gas and fuel was in town, you used to meet in there.
Yeah.
And there might be 3 or 4 or 5 guys in a cab who'd be umpiring in the same league and you get dropped off as you went along the line.
In a cab?
To Albury?
That can't be financially responsible.
A lot of things weren't financially responsible back in those days.
Well, didn't someone just take their car and keep the petrol receipt?
So, some guys used to do a bit of moonlighting on a Saturday night if we had to stay overnight, and they'd borrow the cab driver's cab and take a few fares for a bit of pocket money.
Are you serious? That's brilliant.
Oh, it was known to happen.
Were you known to participate?
No.
What about, were there any of the young local ladies that really liked the umpiring outfits?
Oh, look, there was some groupies to be known in different places, yes. Yeah, there was.
I'm still getting over the cab to Albury.
I think we might need him back for a second week. I think we could go to the next ad break before we finish with the girls who like umpires in country towns and blokes driving cabs. So that's also, you're more worried about the umpire that's actually doing a bit of moonlight as a taxi driver when there was young ladies out there that wanted to know all about the dropping the ball decisions.
Oh, some blokes are more interested in the dollar than girls.
Yeah. Where did you fall in that?
In the middle. Let me clarify that I did like girls.
Yeah.
In the middle is probably a nice response there. So when did the VFL then come knocking?
Well, so that back in 85, I got on the cadet squad and I spent... 84. I spent 2 years on the cadet squad and got promoted in 86 onto the senior list. So that meant I had another 3 years going around
in the Magoos.
Country Victoria. Yeah.
Oh, Victoria?
Yeah, so I did a few in the reserves.
Yeah.
3 or 4 each year for the first couple of years. Then I got a few more in the third year. And then in my fourth year, I got a crack at the seniors.
And what was that, 1990?
1989.
Mm.
Who was the game?
Brisbane Bears and North Melbourne.
Was it an epic encounter? Do you remember about that?
No, not really. It was about a 25-goal win to North Melbourne.
Right. Okay, so
pretty straightforward. That was back in the day when they were, you know, they pioneered the Friday night footy. They played nearly every week.
Yep.
That was back when that started.
When you were learning your craft and you got the senior list at the VFL then, would you go and watch other umpires umpire? Would you go to games of footy and watch umpires umpire?
No, not really. When I went to the footy, I used to go to the footy fairly regularly, but I'd never sit there and watch the umpires as such. I just watched the game.
Did your mates give you a hard time about being an umpire, or were they all umpires, your mates?
No, believe it or not, I do have mates outside of umpire. I know some people.
Did they drop off? Did they stay? Did they stay the journey for the entire?
Some did, yeah. That, you've thrown me. I forgot the question. Look. When I first started it, there was, you know, some of the mates a little bit cynical about what you're doing and that sort of thing, but. You know, when they realised how keen you were to do it, everybody was supportive.
It's an unusual occupation for a man who hates running. I'm taking back to that quote before. That's got me thinking, Goldie. It must have been a mental drain on you to push yourself to those limits a lot of times.
Because I was at training, I'm running against guys who are much better athletes than I was.
Yeah.
And I've got to try and keep up with them. So it was... Training was a real drain. It was.
So then was it a focus for you to make sure that you were the fittest you could possibly be?
Yeah, and that meant that I really had to watch what I ate and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I do like eating, as you can tell.
A lot of us do.
Yeah, so it was really hard for me. I had to make sure that I was fit, as fit as I could be.
Yeah.
So I could at least keep up.
Well, you kept up because you got 371 games through. We'll get to more of them after the break. 19 past three. We'll get to that now. It is JYB this afternoon with Des Dowling from funnyguys.com.au and the three-time All-Australian, six-time grand finalist, 371-game veteran of the VFL AFL, Darren Goldspink. Did you get to him, just by the way?
Yeah, once.
What for, do you remember?
But I think it was in my sixth game, and he ran through Des Ryan off the ball, and I think I might have panicked.
Right.
And saw the aftermath and thought, shit, I better report him. So I reported him. And as it turned out, I was right.
You were right? You did whack him?
Oh, he ran through him, yeah. Took him out off the ball. But back in the day, that was okay.
Yeah, right.
And I think that incident might have...
He was within five!
5 miles.
Yeah. Was that the old turn them around days, the old show us your number and all that stuff?
Yeah, he used to turn them around and take the pen and pencil out and write it in the book.
Because you saw the full gamut, because you would have gone through then to reviews and
all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
When you started, was it one umpire back then when you started?
In the bush, yeah, but not in the VFL, no. I only ran two umpires there.
Right, so how different was it going from one to two? How much easier was it? Or how much more confusing was it because somebody else was making calls on your behalf?
Look, it was probably easier. It was easier physically because there was obviously two people there.
I think
back in the day when the first year that it happened, there was a lot of problems in the interpretations between the two umpires were quite different.
Did you ever have heated stoushes, altercations? Verbal disputes about decisions and...
What, with umpires or players?
No, with umpires first. We'll get to the players. With fellow umpires.
We've allocated half an hour for that.
Yeah. Look, occasionally, I mean, they wouldn't be heated, but you'd have a discussion about a decision or something that you'd done or something that you hadn't done and the other umpire thought you should have done it.
But there's a hierarchy too, isn't it? Like, the more senior umpires would be...
Back when I started, the young guys who came in sort of were seen and not heard. So you just do your time, and then the longer you'd been there, the more you were able to voice your opinion. But now they're sort of the young kids come in and they have a say straight up.
Where was the most, throughout your VFL AFL career, what was the most hostile crowd you dealt with as an umpire?
Oh, there was a few. Adelaide early days was pretty hostile.
Yeah.
Obviously, because most of the supporters were from the one side. Collingwood was quite hostile at Victoria Park.
Yep. Yeah.
Windy Hill was hostile. You should have asked me which place wasn't.
Yeah,
hostile.
Yeah, which place was loving and warm and there was a smell of patchouli in the air.
Sydney was a bit like that early on because they didn't really know. They didn't know what the game was about.
It was very rah-rah.
They used to at the end of the game, somebody would run the ball back to you and give you the ball instead of keeping it, putting their bag and going home. That's how polite they were.
Who was in charge of the umpires when you got into the boot in 89? Who was the boss?
Bill Della was in charge those days.
And who, and did they have these days it's all about mentors and that type of thing. Was there any of that action, or was it just the best young fella?
Well, back in the day, Bill was the main man, and he had a small team of observers who'd go out and watch us, you know, in the VFL.
Yeah.
So how many games were there? Six. So he probably had six or seven observers and himself. And there was a girl who worked in there at the VFL back then, and that was about it.
That's about it. A bit different to when you left.
Yeah, they got a cast of thousands.
And would you go through, because the review process is significant now for the umpiring fraternity, would you go through reviews, maybe not from a video point of view, but a structured review post-game as you went through every
game? Well, back in 97, we started reviews after the game. So you'd do your game, and depending on where you were, you'd meet at a hotel. So if we were interstate, we'd go back to the hotel and go through the whole game. And sometimes, depending on what happened in the game, it might take 4 or 5 hours to go through the whole game.
Hours.
So it wasn't unusual for guys to still be up at 2 in the morning doing a review of the game in the hotel at Perth or Adelaide or somewhere. If we were down at Geelong, we used to have our review at the Palms Hotel in Footscray.
Yes.
So you just had to make sure you went to the right room at the Palms Hotel in Footscray, or you could have been in a bit of trouble.
Did you did you give the Brownlow votes before you did your review, I presume?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you ever get to the end of the review and go, geez, I've made a mistake there?
Quite often. Usually with the Brownlow medal, I found that two players usually stood out pretty clearly.
Yep.
Sometimes it was a struggle for the third.
I've never understood that, why you can't do the votes after you've at least had a look at the game and go, oh, well, you sort of realise. It gives you a better perspective of the game and you're out there, so you realise it would make a lot more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, sometimes, like you said, when you go home or you watch the replay or pick up the papers, you realise that, you know, you made a mistake. Give a vote to a bloke who's had three kicks or something. And then you've got to justify, but he did a great tagging job. He kept the other
bloke
right out of the game.
You're not meant to be watching the tag.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point. Going back to your hostility, the hostility discussion before, was there any times in your career where you actually were feeling a little bit threatened by the environment that you were in?
Nah, not...
Because it has been, and not too often, thankfully, but it has been quite scary at times, I imagine, for...
Yeah, look, sometimes it's really hostile in some of the interstate places particularly, but I was never worried or concerned about my safety or the safety of the other guys. Mm. I never thought that somebody's going to jump the fence here and do something. Yep. Never got to that stage.
Do you think people have a real grasp of how hard it is to umpire at that level? The pace of the game, the subtlety of new rules and things like that. Do you think the average person watching has much clue?
No, I don't think so. Probably
tee
not.
Off.
Like, I was talking to a coach in the job that I have now. I was talking to a coach from one of the sides on the way in, and he was saying how the umpire missed a blatant high tackle where a bloke had his head over the ball and got hit in the head. And I said, well, all our guys and all umpires know what a free kick is. If a bloke's got his head over the ball and he gets crunched, it's a free kick. You know, so I'm assuming that if they don't pay it, there's a reason why they don't pay it. Might be a player was in his way or he wasn't looking at the right place or whatever. So, you know, all umpires know what a free kick is. It's just a matter of whether they're in the right place to see it.
What's your favourite free kick you've ever paid? What's your favourite? Surely there's one where you think, I just nailed that. Nobody else probably saw that, but I nailed that.
No, I don't know. Nothing that stands out.
Nothing.
No. All right, what about the worst one?
Well, I didn't want to start with the worst. I wanted to start positively. I wanted to give him a chance to pump it up and say, yeah, I've got this one.
Give us your top 10 worst ones. All right, let's go from 10.
Oh, look, if I had my time over again, and we might as well get on to this because it'll come up at some stage, 2001 preliminary final.
What happened there, Darren?
Scotty Lucas marked the ball pretty close to the goal line. Did you play in that game?
Yes, I did, Darren.
Do you remember the incident I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, Darren.
So Scotty Lucas has marked the claw, one grab mark, and the goal umpire's come up with touched. So I've run in and I said, well, look, it can't be touched. It's got to be a mark or a goal. And he said, well, I'm not sure. And look, from where I was, I thought it was clearly over the line, so we gave it a goal.
Mm. What was it?
Well, I still reckon it's a goal.
It's a goal?
Yeah.
Well, why is it your worst one?
Oh, it's just everybody else thinks it's my worst one.
I was going to say, I reckon if we threw the phones, if we threw the phones, phone lines open, we might get a few calls with that, because people do bear grudges.
And funnily enough, it's not about the, and this is mentioned a lot these days, which is good, it's not about the guy who makes the mistake, kicks it to the opposition so they kick a goal. It's the umpire that might get a 50-51 the wrong side of the ledger according to them, the team that they support, that they're the ones that cop it for years after. The bloke who turned over the ball in the goal square for a goal, it gets forgotten about.
Well, that's what I think we've got. Dan wants to know on the SMS, did Goldsmith rob Greg Williams of his Brownlow, or was that someone else? Daniel from...
That was when he had 44 touches. Yeah, and it wasn't me.
Wasn't you? No, I didn't think it was. Too good for that.
Some good SMSs coming in.
What are they saying, Goldsmith?
Well, Bretto from Beaky says, was there anything more satisfying than copping an earful from a player and then saying, 50 metres.
Great question.
I tried not to do that. I like to probably give a little bit back, so it was probably unfair if I was prepared to do that to then pay 50.
Which is a very important part of our discussion, this, because I think the game is lesser for microphones, just in that fact. The umpire-player relations of yesteryear is very different to how it is now and what you would be able to say. Now, my understanding is, Darren, having copped a few from you, that you are more than happy to dish one out if we're whinging as players.
I always adopted the chopper read principle in my umpiring. I never slagged anybody who didn't deserve it. So, yeah, I've probably said some things in the past that I certainly wouldn't get away with it now.
Was it something that you would talk about as umpires in the fraternity? Would it be encouraged to engage in the contest with players?
No, not normally, no. No, but I mean, there was different umpires who were happy or not enjoyed. That's not the right word. There were some umpires who would do that, and that was a part of their umpiring, where other guys wouldn't do it. So it just depended on the individual.
Right. Who did you like? Yeah. Who when you played, did you have blokes? You walked in and said, oh, that young Daniel Harford's out here. He's a nice boy. He'll have a chat to me.
He was a nice boy.
There was always some guys who were happy to have a chat and a bit of a joke. I mean, even Dermot used to have a joke when we were out on the ground.
Even Derm?
Yeah, in between whacking blokes.
What about watching blokes like Gary Ablett Senior up close, and that must have been, I mean, that must have made a lot of the crap worthwhile, basically.
Yeah, look, it was always good to be watching those blokes that they're, you know, going about their craft.
Do you ever forget to blow the whistle just for that fraction of a second?
That was good.
I did that once.
What's that?
I didn't
took
have to blow the whistle. No, Wayne Carey took the mark. It's unbelievable mark in a game we're playing against them, and I just sat there and go, oh, how good's that? I didn't have to blow the whistle and pay the mark, by the way.
Sometimes it is easy to get caught up in what's going on and forget what you do. Yeah, certainly.
Were there environments like at grand finals and that, like where you really got caught up in the scenario and the amphitheatre and the noise?
But before the game, yes. You know, we were always encouraged to enjoy the build up to the games and that sort of stuff. But once the game started, like the players, you know, were expected to be on the job.
Did you do many practice bounces out in the middle before a granny? I would think you'd be just...
No, not too many.
You'd be too warm.
So I think when I was finishing, umpires were doing more of their warm-up on the ground before the game, that sort of stuff. I never partook
never did
in
it.
That. No, because I didn't like running.
Didn't
so
like
I didn't
running.
Want to run more than I had to.
A friend of mine dated a top umpire and said they used to have a barbecue and the boys, instead of having a kick of the footy, would just
bounce the ball.
It.
Yeah.
Is that true?
You're just making that up.
No! She said they used to go and have a bounce.
That's when I first started going out, my wife, she wondered what we used to do. You know, when you're a player, you used to go to functions, you'd sit around and go, oh, geez, didn't I kick that well and all.
Yeah.
And she said, well, what do you guys do? Do you just sit there and say, oh, geez, that was a good bounce?
Riveting stuff. Riveting stuff in that function.
She hung around, though.
Yeah, for a while.
Oh, for a while.
Tell me about the day Canberra, just back on the sledging for a second, the day in Canberra when the North Melbourne Football Club were taking on Port Adelaide, I think it was in 2000, and the King and you had some sort of interaction. Remember that day?
Oh, yeah. Wayne and I had a few run-ins over the time.
Because he writes about it in his book.
What did he write, mate? Didn't read that book. I never got a signed copy either.
He threatened to bash you. It started with something. He said to you, you're a dog or something like that. And you said, just get a kick, Kerry. What are you whinging to me about? And then he comes back with, I'll paraphrase, it was dead set on. I said to him, I'd bash your effing head in if it wasn't on this ground, you effing weed. He was really unhappy with you.
I thought the bit of the weed part was a bit ordinary.
and the rest
of it was all right.
And you've really missed the meaning of paraphrasing. You read that exactly as it's
written.
Well,
no, there was a bit before it that I didn't read.
Yeah, look, I do vaguely remember that.
And what do you think when you get to that moment? Now, just saying, I'm going to kick when they're whinging is a bit different to I'm going to bash your head in. What's your response to that?
Oh, look, I don't think he meant it. I was hope he didn't mean it. No, but I mean, that just, you know, back then, I don't think that sort of thing would happen now.
No, well...
But back in the day, I mean, I don't think he was ever going to do it.
I said, if I wasn't on this ground, too, so it's, he's put in a disclaimer.
A disclaimer.
I would bash you.
It'd probably get him off at the tribunal, wouldn't it?
It probably would, technically. Well, some QC would get him off that. That's all right.
It'd only be careless these days, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be intentional?
Have you bumped into him much since you've both hung up?
A couple of times. Yeah, I saw him at a concert once. Robbie Williams, I think it was.
Just hanging out. You and the duck.
Oh, we weren't hanging out with each other.
You and the duck singing Angels together. Arm in arm.
It was beautiful.
Fantastic. That's great stuff. What about tribunals? For going in order of things you love to do as an umpire, where does the going to the tribunal on a Tuesday night sit?
Oh, it doesn't sit up at the top of the list, that's for sure.
Was it stressful?
It could get stressful depending. I mean, it would have been stressful for the younger guys who hadn't experienced it before.
Yeah.
But once you've been for a few times, you realise where everybody's coming from. I mean, the advocate's job is to get the player off.
Yep.
And in a lot of instances, the opposition player, it was his job to get the player off as well.
Mm.
So yes. It was obviously a bit of collusion there and that sort of stuff. So, and it wasn't that they weren't, they were obviously trying to punch holes in your story. But it wasn't personal or anything. They were trying to get the player off, so I think everybody understands that.
Was there ever any cases through your time, not necessarily you here, but that you may have come across after the event that maybe the information was fudged just to make sure you got someone?
From an umpire's point of view?
Any colluding from the umpires?
Or just maybe a bit of GST on the story that there was no video evidence. I really need to get this guy because he did it, and he's trying to get off, and the other mate's saying, no, he didn't hit me.
I wouldn't have thought so. Well, you've got some evidence.
I'm just asking a question.
No, I don't think so. I think guys went in and just told the tribunal how they saw it.
Right.
That was all we needed to do.
And there was never any repercussions outside one of those type scenarios?
No, not me. Maybe once or twice it might have happened.
Yeah. Who were they? You're not going to tell me, are you?
No, it didn't happen to me.
Right.
But, you know, there might have been an occasion where a player followed one of the umpires after the tribunal case and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Did you ever do State of Origin games?
Yeah, a couple.
Which games are they? Were they Victoria, South Australia?
Yeah, Victoria and South Australia.
What were they like to umpire and as opposed to regular home and away games? Or even finals games, I suppose.
Yeah, look, the few State of Origin games I did were pretty open footy. There wasn't a lot of tackling and that sort of stuff because obviously it was in the middle of the year and guys didn't want to miss the next weekend. I did a game when I think Tony Hall did his knee at the MCG.
Yes.
And I think the same game, Paul Roos might have whacked Martin Leslie across the chops there at one stage.
He wouldn't have done that, Roosie.
I don't think he meant it.
Did you get him off?
No, I didn't report him. It was an accident. But, it wasn't, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't tough and hard footy, but there wasn't a heap of tackling.
Right. Just on the tribunal, just the news coming through, excuse me while I'm distracted a touch, the MRP is through for the afternoon, and this is how it is. 5 charges laid, 4 other matters explained in detail. I won't go into them, but we'll go through the 5 charges. Alex Rance can accept $1,000 for misconduct against Joel Selwood, throwing the ball in his head. $1,000 for him. Stephen May's got a 2-game ban for rough conduct against Tom Rockliffe. Nick Robertson can accept $1,000 for striking Tom Nichols. Luke Hodge referred directly to the tribunal for striking Andrew Swallow. No early plea offered. Judged high impact for potential to cause injury. And Jordan Lewis can accept 2 games. Where's that one from, Patrick? Can accept 2 games. 3-2. It must have been careless instead of intentional, that one for Jordan Lewis, or medium impact, one of those two from the MRP's findings. The full statement will come out shortly. We don't know what that is as yet, but we will go through that very, very shortly. But Luke Hodge has been sent straight to the tribunal for his hit on Andrew Swallow, so they will be sitting tomorrow night. Megan Huswaite will be there for SEN Footy, and that is a big story in footy. 13-4, this is for Goldie. Just for he and King.
And the duck.
And the duck. Just to take themselves back to that.
Oh, Goldie, I didn't know like you liked Robbie as well.
Oh, duck.
Want to hang out? Like oh, I'll get you a drink. I was never going to bash you.
I thought about it, but I was never going to.
Actually, I can now.
With Aaron Goldsmith, our special guest.
Well, everything's coming in on the... this bloke sounds like Carl Barron from Brent. And the one at the top half, or is that, am I missing an in-joke? Or, hi, love, can you text me the RACV numbers? My card's at home, and I found Lou's charger in my console.
That's fantastic.
Smiley face.
Fantastic news for Lou. He's been looking for that charger. Or she has been looking
love,
for that charger.
Love, I love it. Oh, no, oh, Lou's charger, yeah.
Yeah, Lou.
Your best sledge, they want to know, off the SMS.
Oh, best sledge.
That you gave and perhaps received.
The one you're proudest of, the zinger, the one you wrote and sort of pared back and told.
Oh, look, I quite often tell this story. I was umpiring the reserves and it was a final out at Waverley and Matthew Marnie was a guy who played for Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he used to give me a fair bit when I was umpiring. And one day he was out on the wing on his own and he dropped a sitter and few players came in and there was a ball up and he was at the bottom of the pack and all the players got up and he gave me the ball. He threw the ball to me and I grabbed the ball and I went, that's how you mark
it. Terrific.
And he had a crack. Terrific. Or were you just making the most
of his...
He might have
uttered the same words as the duck.
Oh, right, okay.
I'll get you out in the car park.
Similar theme, right. Okay, that's trending through. You're 6 grand finals you umpired. Are there many more umpires umpired more than that?
Oh, there's probably, half a dozen, I think. Yeah.
It's a lot of grand finals. It's a great effort. Which one's your favourite? 93, 95, 98, so Essendon, Carlton North, 2000, Essendon, and 056, the Sydney-West Coast combination.
The last two were the best.
Because they're the closest?
Yeah, the closest, yeah. They're really, I mean, the games weren't pretty to watch, but it was a really good contest and tight. And
that would have been hard to umpire because they weren't pretty, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I think in 2005, I don't think we paid a hold on the ball all day. Which is a little bit different now.
Yeah.
But, we didn't pay any holding the balls that day and it was a good game, great game.
And after 371 games, Goldie, you retired.
Yeah.
And probably fair enough too. You were 43 at the time and that's a hell of a lot of games. I did love one of your quotes though. It took me a while. You love this, Des. It took me a while to decide to retire because I wanted to make sure that I had somebody who could take over my mantle as the most hated umpire. And I think I'll pass that baton on to Ray Chamberlain. I think I've left it in good hands.
Was I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. But it was a nice dismount, which shows you had a little bit of personality that perhaps the footy fans might not have chosen to see throughout your
time.
He's
calmed down
with
a bit, Ray. I haven't heard from him much lately after that debacle over in Adelaide with the siren that he reckons he heard.
Yeah,
and called the end of the quarter.
That was unfortunate for Ray.
And he couldn't even use the excuses that the train had gone past, like some guys have used down at Geelong.
Did you ever use that?
No, I was there one day. And there was a bloke running in the open goal. It was a thirds game.
Yeah.
And the train went past. It was about the 15-minute mark of the quarter. So I'm thinking he probably should have known that it was only halfway through the quarter. The train blows the whistle. He stops the game.
And 15 minutes
in. Kicks a goal 15 minutes in. Couldn't believe it.
That's brilliant from the train driver. I love that stuff.
I think they do it on purpose, the train
driver. I have no doubt. I'd love to talk to one of those train drivers just to see if they can get a
And they get in
the
lunchroom the next day and said, oh, God, I got them to stop the game. I blew the whistle.
You're still involved with umpiring these days in the Eastern Footy League. Spent a bit of time with the South Eastern Juniors.
Yep.
And now the Eastern Footy League. Is it a career, and there's been a lot of talk about this the last couple of years, is it a career that a lot of people who are athletes particularly, but understand and love the game of footy, should be getting involved in?
Yeah, look, and particularly players who've retired. We've got probably half a dozen players who've played in the AFL for quite a number of games, and they've been surprised the environment that umpiring has and what it involves. I think they're probably a little bit sceptical when they started as to how it was going to pan out, but they love their umpiring. They really love it. So, you know, our aim is to try and attract some more players who have come to the end of their time. And we'll also attract... We've got about 50 new kids this year, which is really good.
Yeah, good.
I mean, it's not going to help us in the seniors this year, but, you know, in 5 or 6 years' time, if we can hang on to a lot of those kids, you know, they can turn into good senior umpires for us.
Well, they've got a nice role model in you, just sitting there, just guiding them through the process. Even though you popped your hammy a couple of weeks ago, we're being told off the SMS after just walking out to the centre.
Didn't even get into a jog.
Thinking about going out there.
Just popped the hammy.
Going to have a bounce.
And Goldie, do you like the way the game's officiated at the moment, where it's got to?
Yeah, look, I think the guys do a pretty good job. It's obviously a little bit harder with so many guys around the ball. I think this year it's probably opened up a little bit. There's not as many around the ball, and the interpretation of holding the ball's probably helped that as well.
Yep.
Because it's more, the few games I've watched, it seems like it's more predictable. When a guy gets a ball and he gets tackled and it's holding the ball, the whistle usually follows, so it's all good.
Do you miss the whistle?
No, not really.
Because that means running? Day.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have nightmares about running anymore. 4K fitness test.
And I, at some stage, I'm sure we'll get over that 2001 nightmare you brought up earlier. But thank you for coming in,
Darren.
Doesn't
sound like it.
It's always nice to see nice people. Thanks, sir.
Good on your half. Thanks, Darren. Des.